नंदा, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। भगवद गीता चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 30। माय सर्वाणि कर्माणि सन्न्यसाद्यात्मचेतसा निरास्तिर्निर्ममो भूत्वा युज्यस्व विगतज्वरः। Translation, therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit, with no claims to proprietorship and free from lethargy, fight. Therefore, this verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita, or instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties, as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because that is the constant position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constant position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord, and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord, and he had only to execute his order. The Supreme Lord is the soul of all souls. Therefore, one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul without personal consideration, in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called Adhyatma Chetas. Nirasti means one has to act on the order of the master, but should not expect fruit of results. The cashier may count millions of dollars for his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to an individual person, but everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purpose of mind, or unto me. And when one acts in such Krishna consciousness, he does not claim proprietorship over anything. This consciousness is called Nirmama, or nothing is mine. And if there is any reluctance to execute such a certain order, which is without consideration, so-called kinsman in the body relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. In this way, one may become a vigata jvara, or without feverish mentality or lethargy. Everyone, according to his quality and position, has a particular type of work to discharge, and all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness as described above. That will lead one to the path of liberation. Translation, therefore, Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit, with no claims for proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. So this is a verse from the third chapter concerning karma yoga. So as we know, karma yoga is not the ultimate conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. So it also is not completely separate from bhakti. So here, Krishna shows how karma yoga is related to the Lord. So here he says that you give up all karmas or duties and you give them to the Lord. So this means that we have duties within the Varnashram system, but we should offer those to the Supreme Lord. The alternative is that we do the activities for our benefit. So this is the normal mode of acting. We do things for ourselves. So we follow the social system of Varnashram Dharma and we follow the rules of Dharma, etc. But we have our own benefit in mind. One benefit is we live very peacefully in the material world. Second benefit is when we die, we get reborn, and because we did punya, we get a good birth next lifetime. So that is called Sakama Karma Yoga, doing Karma Yoga with material desire. However, Krishna has also indicated that higher than Sakama Karma Yoga is Nishkama Karma Yoga. We should do the activities of Karma Yoga, but we should not have personal desire. So that of course is a little difficult to do. Why do activities if we don't get any result for ourselves? So the answer is that we do the activities. Yes, we do get results, but we should not be attached to those results. So we do those activities not because we get the results, but because scripture tells us to do so. To make this easier, then instead of simply doing the activities as duty, we offer them to the Lord. So we do our activities and we try to offer all the results to the Supreme Lord. So this takes the focus off our own enjoyment. So in this verse, Krishna recommends don't give up the duties of Varnashram, but do them and offer the results to me. In this way, the person is without desire. Nirasi means without desire. And nirmama means without attachment. Uh, So, attachment and desire are the causes of bondage in the material world.
The pattern, the asayam, this is nama, and the body organs are attached
to it. So we get free of this attachment and desire, but then we actually get freedom from the material world.
In the pattern, pattern, and the asayam, this is nama, we live our life.
So Krishna says, this is the method. Nishkama Karma Yoga, offering the results to the Lord, is the method of conquering over bondage in the material world. However, we should not take these words as completely true. We know that karma yoga is in the gunas. And we know that nishkama karma yoga in itself does not lead to even liberation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, Kapila describes that by doing nishkama karma yoga, you can end up in Brahma Loka. After we do nishkama karma yoga, then we should do jnana. Jnana, however, is also described as being in sattva gun, according to Bhagavatam. So it is also a cause of bondage. If we do jnana, we are bound by sattva gun. So jnana in itself does not give liberation also. So Bhagavatam describes, if we want liberation, we have to give up jnana also. So then how do we get liberation if we give up jnana? So the answer is that we also have to do some bhakti. It's a little bit of bhakti, but that little bit of bhakti will allow us to get liberation. In other words, because we do a little bhakti, the Lord gives liberation to the jnani. Yeah, so therefore sakama karma yoga and nishkama karma yoga are also in the gunas. They cannot liberate us. However, in chapter 3, Krishna points out that if you're not qualified for jnana, you must do karma yoga. If you are not fixed in sattva gun with sense control, mind control, etc., then you should do karma yoga. So that is what Krishna is recommending here. But he's saying doing it nishkama, nishkama karma yoga. So nishkama karma yoga means you do the activity without personal desires. So therefore you do not give up activity. So he says you must fight. Arjuna's duty as kshatriya was to fight, so therefore he should fight. This is part of his karma yoga.
அது வந்து அவருடைய கர்மயோகம்.
So this is looks contradictory, fighting and practicing dharma, but no, for the kshatriya this is dharma.
சண்டை போடுறதும் தர்மத்துக்கு விருத்தமா தெரியுது, இருப்பினும் ஒரு சத்ரியனுக்கு போரிடுவது தர்மமே.
So as I said, this is not the final conclusion.
நான் சொன்ன புரிய போது இந்த இது வந்து உயர்ந்த தத்துவம் இல்லை.
But it is applicable to a person who is in the gunas.
இருப்பினும் இது வந்து ஒருத்தர் எவர் ஒருவர் இந்த குணங்கள் கட்டுப்பட்டிருக்கிறாரோ அவங்களுக்கு இது பொருந்துவாங்க.
However, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, give up all dharmas and simply surrender unto me.
இருப்பினும் பகவத் கீதை கடைசியில் பகுதியில் எல்லா விதமான தர்மத்தை விட்டுவிட்டு எனக்கு சரணையிட என்று கூறுகிறார் கிருஷ்ணன்.
So Krishna was, Arjuna was the same person in the 3rd chapter and the 18th chapter. He's still a kshatriya.
Arjuna, மூன்றாவது அத்தியாயத்தில் இருப்பினும் இந்த கடைசி அத்தியாயத்திலும் அவர் கஷத்ரியனே, ஒரே மனிதனாக இருந்தார்.
So, how is it that Krishna can say you stop all this activity of fighting and you simply do bhakti?
எவ்வாறு கிருஷ்ணர் இவரை எல்லா விதமான தர்மத்தை விட்டுவிட்டு பக்தி மட்டும் செய்யும் அவருக்கு புரியும் சொல்லலாம்.
So what Krishna is saying is actually bhakti, anyone can do bhakti. If you're a kshatriya in the gunas or whatever, and even if you're beyond the gunas, you do bhakti.
அதாவது கிருஷ்ண என்ன சொல்றாருன்னா, இந்த முகநகத்தில் இருந்தாலும் சரி, ஒரு கஷத்ரியனா இருந்தாலும் சரி, இந்த பக்தி என்பது எல்லாரும் கடைபிடிக்க முடியாது.
So therefore bhakti is freer and more liberal than the other processes. You can be in any guna or beyond the gunas.
அதாவது ஒருத்தர் எந்த குணத்தில் இருந்தாலும், இந்த குணங்களுக்கு அப்பாற்பட்ட நிலையில் இருந்தாலும் ஒரு பக்தி செய்வது ரொம்ப எளிமையானது.
Whereas karma yoga you're in the gunas and jnana yoga you're in the gunas.
The karma yoga la jnana yoga seyiradhukku oru
So, bhakti yoga can be practiced by people in Rajagun or Sattvagun or Tamagun.
ஆனால் பக்தி யோகம் என்பது ஒருவர் சத்துவகுணம், ரஜோகுணம் இல்ல தமோகுணத்தில் இருப்பினும் ஒரு கடைபிடிக்க முடியும்.
At the same time as practicing bhakti, one can also practice dharma.
இது மட்டும் இல்லை, ஒருவர் பக்தி செய்வதற்கு கூடவே தர்மத்தையும் கடைபிடிக்க முடியும்.
However, prominence is given to the bhakti.
இருப்பினும் பக்திக்கு உயர்ந்த நிலை கொடுக்கப்படுகிறது.
So at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, okay, you surrender unto me, give up all dharmas. But then at the end, Arjuna fights.
Bhagavad Gita, இறுதி பகுதியில் கிருஷ்ணர் எல்லாவற்றையும் விட்டுவிட்டு எனக்கு சரணடையும் சொல்கிறார், இருப்பினும் அர்ஜுனன் சண்டை போடுகிறார்.
So it seems he still follows dharma in spite of the fact that Krishna says give up all dharma.
இதுல என்ன தெரியுதுன்னா, அர்ஜுனா தர்மத்தையும் கடைபிடிக்கிறார், பக்தியும் செய்கிறார்.
But we should understand that actually it is not dharma he is following, he is following bhakti.
ஆனால் ஒன்று புரிந்து கொள்ள வேண்டும், அவர் தர்மத்தை கடைபிடிக்கவில்லை, அவர் பக்தி செய்கிறார்.
And that is because he is following the order of Krishna.
கிருஷ்ணருடைய உபதேசத்தை கடைபிடிக்கிறார்.
So he understands the essence of Krishna's teachings. The essence of the teaching is bhakti. And what is the essence of bhakti? Trying to please the Lord. So how do we please the Lord? We do what he wants.
அவர் சொல்வதை செய்வது மூலமாக.
So Krishna says fight, we fight.
Krishna போயிட சொன்னால் போயிட வேண்டியதுதான்.
So in that sense his fighting was not actually dharma, it was bhakti.
இவ்வாறு அவர் கிருஷ்ண அர்ஜுனன் போரிட்டது தர்மம் இல்லை, அது விதமான பக்தி.
Therefore the third chapter where we have this topic of following duty etc. is not the highest topic.
பகவத் கீதை மூன்றாவது அத்தியாயம் கர்ம யோகத்தின் படி குறிப்பிட்டிருப்பினும் அது உயர்ந்த உபதேசம் அல்ல.
Nevertheless, we can make this favorable towards bhakti.
இருப்பினும் இது பக்திக்கு சாதமாக நம்ம பயன்படுத்திக் கொள்ளலாம்.
So by offering these activities to Krishna, then this becomes more favorable towards bhakti.
இவ்வாறு இந்த செயல்களை நம்ம கிருஷ்ணருக்கு பக்திக்கு சாதமாக பயன்படுத்திக் கொள்ளலாம்.
And one can practice this along with bhakti as well.
பக்தி கூடவே இந்த கடமைகளை ஒருவர் செய்ய முடியும்.
However, one should not be over attached to this.
இருப்பினும் ஒருவர் கூடுதல் பற்று வெட்டிருக்கப்படாது.
The main attachment should be for the bhakti. So, therefore, if Krishna says fight, Arjuna will fight. But if Krishna says don't fight, then Arjuna will not fight.
அதே சமயத்தில் கிருஷ்ணர் போரிட வேண்டாம் என்று சொன்னால் அர்ஜுனன் அதை செய்ய வேண்டாம்.
Of course, if he's to follow Dharma, he should fight. But because he's devotee of Krishna, he will not fight.
தர்மத்தின் நெறிப்படி அவர் சண்டை போட வேண்டிய இருந்தாலும் கிருஷ்ணர் வேண்டாம் என்று சொன்னால் அவர் சண்டை போட மாட்டார்.
So, therefore, the real devotee will simply follow Krishna and that will surpass even Dharma.
அதனால் உயர்ந்த பக்தர் கிருஷ்ணனுடைய உபதேசத்தை கடைபிடிக்கிறார். அது தர்மத்தின் உயர்ந்த நிலை.
So Krishna says, tell a lie, the devotee should also tell a lie.
Krishna will be able to tell a lie, and he will be able to tell a lie.
And if one hesitates, then there's a problem. So, therefore, actually the highest position is that of simply trying to please the Lord. Now, of course, following Dharma also is pleasing to the Lord. But if we're more interested in following Dharma than directly pleasing the Lord, then it becomes karma yoga. And when we're more interested in pleasing the Lord, then it becomes bhakti.
ஒருவேளை நம்ம கடவுளை திருப்தி செய்வதுதான் முக்கிய நோக்கமாக இருந்தால் அது பக்தியாக அழைக்கப்படுகிறது.
And when we were more interested in the bhakti, even when we give up the karma, still there is no fault on our part.
ஒருவேளை நம்ம பக்தி செய்வதன் மூலமாக தர்மத்தை விட்டுவிட வேண்டிய சூழ்நிலை ஏற்பட்டாலும் அது தவறில்லை.
But if we're predominantly doing this karma yoga, then we will hesitate and we'll say, oh, I cannot give this up completely because it is sinful if I give it up.
ஒருவேளை நம்ம இந்த கர்ம யுகத்திலே பற்று இருப்பினும் நம்ம கடவுள் சொன்ன பக்தி செய்வதற்கு தயங்குவோம்.
So the more devotion we have to the Lord, the less we get concerned about dharma or anything else.
அதனால நமக்கு பக்தி எவ்வளவுக்கு அதிகமாக இருக்கோ அந்த அளவுக்கு நம்ம தர்மத்தை விட்டுவிடுவதற்கு தயங்க மாட்டோம்.
So therefore, finally Krishna says, give up everything at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. So one who is completely attached to the Lord will, without hesitation, give up all dharmas. So that is actually the perfection of spiritual life. So if we operate with that principle of understanding the different levels of spiritual life, then we have no confusion.
இவ்வாறாக நம்ம இந்த ஆன்மீக நிலையில் பல நிலைகளை தெரிந்து செயல்பட்டோமானால் நமக்கு எந்த விதமான குழப்பம் இருக்காது.
But if we do not understand the hierarchy, the bhakti is at the top, then we have jnana, then we have karma yoga, then we can fall into confusion.
இவ்வாறாக நமக்கு பக்தி ஞான யோகம் மற்றும் கர்ம யோகத்தில் உயர்ந்த நிலையில் இருக்குன்றது தெரியாமல் இருந்தால் நமக்கு குழப்பம் ஏற்படுறதுக்கு வாய்ப்பு இருக்கு.
So that was the confusion of Arjuna in the beginning of the battle.
இந்த போர் ஆரம்ப நிலையில அர்ஜுனுக்கு இந்த குழப்பம் தான் ஏற்பட்டது.
He was very confused and he did not want to fight because of considerations of dharma.
தர்மத்தின் அடிப்படையில் அவர் போரிடைய தயாராக இல்லை.
Then Krishna enlightened him with jnana. You're not the body.
அந்த நிலையில் கிருஷ்ணர் அர்ஜுனனுக்கு இந்த ஞான யோகத்தை பரிந்துரைத்தார். அதாவது நம்ம உடல் இல்ல ஆன்மா என்ற ஞானத்தை கொடுத்தார்.
So once we understand we're not the body, then we're not attached to anything. We're not attached to killing, nor we're not attached to not killing also.
இவ்வாறாக ஒருவர் தன் ஆன்மா உடல் இல்லை என்ற ஞானம் பெறும்போது அவர் இந்த கர்ம மற்றும் ஒரு செயலை செய்வதற்கும் அது செய்யாமல் இருக்கிறதுக்கும் பட்டு இல்லாமல் இருக்கிறார்.
So though Krishna uses the argument, you're not the body from jnana, Arjuna can also use the argument from jnana, well, I should become detached from everything and I will not fight. So then Krishna says, but you're not qualified for jnana, therefore you do karma yoga and then you must fight. This is a little confusing because simultaneously Krishna preaches two things, jnana, be detached, and at the same time do karma yoga. So in the 5th chapter, Krishna clarifies and says ultimately karma yoga should lead to jnana yoga when you're qualified. However, as I said at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna fights again. So he was not fixed in jnana. Nor was he back in karma yoga, he was fixed in bhakti. So actually he was higher than karma and jnana. So the top position is that of bhakti. So if we follow the desires of the Lord, we do not have to worry about anything else. Arjuna was worried, if I kill my relatives then I get sin and I create problems in the world, etc. So he, that's one problem. But if one simply follows the order of Krishna, Krishna will take care of
everything.
So the other processes have some good and also some fault. If you follow karma yoga, yes, you go to Svargaloka, but you may have to kill your grandfather or whatever. If you do jnana, you can be peaceful. But then the asuras may rule the world. But if one becomes a devotee of the Lord, then everything is solved. Krishna arranges for devas to get killed. And even if his relatives get killed, they get liberation. So Krishna makes proper arrangements through bhakti. So therefore it is the perfect process. Oh, karma yoga, yes. Because in karma yoga it may say worship different devatas. As Krishna says in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, you worship the devatas, you get all your desires fulfilled.
But if it is Nishkam karma, then also it contradicts if someone does Nishkam karma.
In Nishkama karma yoga.
Then also it contradicts with
that. It is not so contradictory. One may worship the devatas, but one does it without desire, only out of duty. But one should realize that ultimately Krishna is in control of the devatas. That's to be the consciousness.
And, how can we get distraction? How can we get distraction to do bhakti yoga?
Instructions on bhakti we have to take through the devotees of the Lord. Those who are trying to practice bhakti in the age of Kali, we should not worry about other processes because those processes cannot be followed properly. Karma yoga cannot be instituted properly because there's no varnashram system intact. We may follow ourselves, but everyone else is not following, so that's very difficult to follow at all. So we can take elements of those varnas or whatever and the different rules, but we cannot really follow too strictly. So the main effort should be in bhakti itself, in Kali Yuga.
இருந்ததுனால கடவுள் அவர்கள் எல்லா விதமான தர்மத்தையும் விட்டுவிடுன்னு சொன்னார். நம்ம ஆரம்ப நிலையில் இருக்கும்போது என்ன செய்ய வேண்டும் என்று அதுக்கு பதில் வந்து மற்ற விதிமுறைகள் நம்ம இந்த கலியுகத்தில் செயல்படுத்த முடியாது, அதனால் பக்தி யோகம் செய்வதே சிறந்தது. இருப்பினும் அதில் இருக்க சில நல்ல அம்சங்களை நம்ம பக்திக்கு சாதமாக பயன்படுத்திக் கொள்ளலாம்.
Thank you.